Welcome to Arkansas Cooks. This is your host, Mary Tweet, and I'm here to meet and eat with Arkansas cooks, and then I tell you all about it. You can smell fresh roasted coffee beans in Hillcrest, and you know you're close to Milo's, but you can also have some great pastries. Don't go away. You're listening to Arkansas Cooks. Good afternoon. I am Mary Tweet, and you are listening to Arkansas Cooks. Last week, I talked to Stefanos Mylonos about coffee. Yeah, he's from Crete. He has a Greek last name, Mylonos. It's Mylonos. And I talked to him all about coffee. And this week, we're going to talk to him about some amazing pastries. He has a love and really a care for pastries, and he has a brand new staff that is making pastries for him that, you know, the recipes that he has developed. Things like Kouign-Amann, K-O-U-I-G-N, pronounced Queen, Amann, A-M-A-N-N. It's a Middle Eastern pastry, and it is wonderful. They take bread dough with butter and sugar, and it's all blended together, and it gets buttery and flaky, and the sugar caramelizes as it bakes. Holy cow, it is great. But you can also call them KAs. At Milo's, that's what they call them, because when you look up at the board and you see Kouign-Amann, it doesn't look like Q-U-E-E-N. It looks like Kouign-Amann, whatever. Well, the folks at Milo's, they want to bake food so you'll eat it right that day. They don't want anything left over. Oh, and they do a great job. So here we go to Milo's.
A lot of people are familiar with espresso-based drinks. You can make cappuccinos, lattes. You can make Americanos. You can do all sorts of interesting stuff. We feel that, you know, a coffee shop is incomplete without a good espresso machine. Mm-hmm. We've started with this one that we're looking at right now. It's a great machine, and we have a great barista working here. Sam Sturveden, he's done amazing work for us the last month or so, and we highly recommend that people who enjoy the pourover take a break and try a cappuccino or a double espresso or something. It's equally good. I could not be more thrilled to be working with Sam on this project, and he's one of the people who have put creative ideas and input into our roasting too. But going back to the blend, it's a coffee with similar characteristics to our pourover at the moment, and this will be changing as the season changes. Sure. And as we get a little more experienced. But it's a blend which also has some Brazilian coffee in it, because Brazilian coffees allow you to add a little bit of body into your espresso, which is important. People are looking for that crema in their espresso. We had to do something slightly different there just to get the best possible espresso out of, you know, the beans that we had. And yeah, we're really happy with it. But if you have any input, any feedback, we need to make it even better.
That's great. Now, the other thing that's really, that stands out in this great space, which is really open, I love it, is the roaster.
Yes.
Which, this is a big green machine.
It's a green machine. It's a Dietrich 5 kilo or around 10-pound, 11-pound roaster.
About five, you know, about almost 6 feet tall.
It weighs around 800 pounds.
Yeah. It looks like a big green mixer or something. But
yep.
It's a roaster.
It's a coffee roaster, and we're extremely proud of it, partly because a lot of savings went into getting it, and partly because it's been amazing to work with this machine. It's sort of another type of craftsmanship. You know,
we went
out there in Idaho at the Dietrich factory a few months ago. We met the guys building this on a roasting course that we went to, myself, Monica, Marcos, who's doing the roasting for us here. And it was such an experience to meet people who, again, enjoy what they do, and they're damn good at what they do.
Well, and they're under the same craft that you're doing here in Little Rock.
Yeah. So let me show you. We have...
Oh, I'm so excited. Does it smell like this all the time? Will you get this kind of coffee scent in here? Because I see it has a chimney that goes out.
In fact, when we roast, because it has a pretty efficient chimney, it sometimes smells slightly better just outside the door than it does in here. So these are green beans.
Oh, now, you know, I don't think I've ever seen green coffee beans.
So this is the bean we use for our pourover.
Yeah.
It goes in the hopper at the top.
Okay.
And we heat up the machine to around 375, 400 degrees Fahrenheit.
Does it get warm back here?
It doesn't, no. It's pretty efficient.
It's very contained.
Yeah, it's very contained.
Like an oven.
Like an oven. Yeah, our oven runs hotter than the roaster. It can run. When we're baking our bread, we're up to 550.
Oh, wow.
The difference between, you know, cooking or baking and roasting coffee is that you make a lot of important and constantly involving changes into the heat that you put into the system. It's a shorter process. It takes about anything as low as 11, 12 minutes to 15, 16, perhaps 17 minutes.
For a darker roast.
For a darker roast. So it's not like baking a cake or baking bread.
Yeah.
It's constant, almost constant input of heat so that you're actually roasting.
Yeah.
You know, it's coffee roasting. It's not coffee baking.
Right. That makes total sense.
And we drop the beans. It just go. You know, they have infrared. There's infrared burners there. And when the time is right, and you know by visual observation, visual stimuli, and you can also smell different things through the roast. You sort of dump the beans. And you quickly cool them down. We'd love to show people when we're up and running. In the afternoon is when we're mostly be doing our roasting. They can come and you
watch.
Know take and watch.
Nice.
You know, it's really fun actually.
And then
going
once they're cooled,
through,
they're coming out of here, right?
Yeah. And you have this agitator which you want to engage so that when you know you're at the right roast level, you stop that by cooling the beans quickly because they'll keep roasting.
That's very similar to food when you, like if you take a pot roast out of the oven and it's still, or a chicken, it's still going to roast
absolutely.
A little longer because it is warm.
Or if you've blanched some greens
and
you want them to stay crisp, you want to shock them in cold water because they'll keep cooking.
Now,
so
were you a chef?
I am not a chef, no.
But you've learned a lot about chefing as far as coffee.
I'm still not a chef.
Who's cooking here then?
I am. But
You know what the definition of a chef is? The one who's in charge of the kitchen.
I'm just the guy who bakes stuff.
Well, we're glad you do.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about where you started and how you got to where you were with the pastries that you're doing. Because you obviously...
I've always loved pastry. I think Cyprus and Nicosia, where I was born and raised, has one of the highest concentration of bakeries anywhere in the world.
It's everywhere, right?
It's sort of... A bakery is not only just a bakery... In Cyprus is where you go to get some groceries. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. such a popular concept. And I've always loved pastry. I've loved laminated pastry, which is a technique where you envelop butter into dough and you make things like croissants or puff pastry or our quinoa. and
almost it's almost as if it gives the pastry layers.
Yes,
with the fat in between.
You
almost
have
like phyllo dough where you do that same thing.
Yeah, and let's move over to the kitchen. I want to show you a few pieces of equipment that we have. Now, when we started, excuse the mess.
Oh, that's okay. Mary, I know you're still in the getting ready phase.
Still a few bits and bobs that need to happen.
Yeah.
But it's almost ready. So, I noticed you've seen our laminator. When we started, we were trying things out in our small workshop, and everything was done by hand. Now, everything is still done by hand, but to increase our production, we've had to invest in some pieces of equipment.
Like a laminator. So we're not talking... So a lot of times when people hear the word laminator, they think of something that covers something in plastic.
Yes.
So you're talking about a cooking device that is that really helps you with those layers
of... The best way to describe it is some people have seen a pasta machine. It's
right.
A similar concept in that it has a stainless steel, rod that pushes on your dough to make it ever increasingly thinner.
Right.
And there's a lot of actual physical input that goes into making dough thinner. The alternative is to use a rolling pin, which is
right.
What I have done for the last 18 months, 2 years. This was my best friend.
Yes, and that's a very nice rolling pin.
It's made a lot of pastry in the last 18 months. It's still in use here at Milo, but it's great to have the shear or the laminator, as some people might know it. It's actually going to improve our product too, because butter starts melting, and you can only be so quick when the production increases. There's only so much you can do, with a rolling pin. So we're trying. It needs to be a quick process, and there's a lot of back and forth from the refrigerator as you're building these doughs, because they need to stay cool so that you don't lose the intricate layers of dough and butter.
Nice.
And people like their Queen Amman the way it is. If it's different, they'll start.
Let you know.
They'll let us know. Yeah.
So you're because butter does melt, and when you're I've seen people before do a thin roll of dough, lay the butter down. Double it over, roll it out again, more butter, roll it out again, more butter. But what the laminator does is it speeds up that process.
It does, and it effectively makes, your life a little more straightforward and a better product.
Right.
Because there's less time at room temperature involved. Another thing we have, and I want to mention this too, is we have a proofer.
Nice.
People ask me, how do you proof your pastries? And it's quite simple at room temperature, which meant that you have to get up extremely early, 5, 6, 7 hours before the market started, to make sure that those croissants and Queen Amman and the bread were fully proofed before you bake them. Yeasted doughs, they want 80 degrees to rise, and are the best we could manage at home at the warmest part of the kitchen was maybe 70, 71, 72.
Right. Right.
So it really took much, much longer, and it didn't make your life very, very straightforward. If you had a cold night, it was hard, and the temperature would change through the season, so you had to make adjustments. It was the right step in the right direction. We have a proofer. And it's also important to say, Mary, that, we're trying to build opportunities and careers for people. Being a baker obviously involves getting up early, to make the pastries, but it doesn't mean that you have to remain sort of contained within that sort of working from midnight till 7. We want to give people the opportunity to consider this a long-term opportunity, and it's not easy for a young person to commit to having a completely different working schedule than anyone else in their lives. So everything that I do, everything that we do, I try and be conscious of that fact, and try and figure out clever ways to do that. And that's how we do our croissants in Queen Amman. I actually experimented with rolling those pastries and shaping them the day before just to see if they would work. I actually found that it makes a better product because the longer proof, very, very slow proofing in cold temperatures overnight adds to the flavor a lot, to the point where we started doing a croissant and Queen Amman ferment from the previous batch just to add more and more flavor and complexity into the dough.
Now explain what a Queen Amman is, because I'm unfamiliar with that.
Queen Amman, it's pronounced queen as king and queen, and then Amman, A-M-A-double-N.
Okay,
it means butter cake.
Okay.
And it's from Brittany, it was very popular in Brittany region of France, and it's a dough fairly similar to a croissant. It's slightly more salted because the balance between the savory and sweet is what makes it really interesting. A croissant has butter and dough layers. The Queen Amman, and it's one of the very few laminated pastries that has, is a third layer, which is sugar. So you get that caramelization from natural caramelization from the sugar, which you sort of develop and try and figure out the best baking times and proofing times to work it out. And we make ours by hand, you know, every day. Actually, the Queen Amman is one dough that we're still mostly producing with the rolling pin just because it's such a delicate pastry, and because of the addition of sugar, you can't work it on the laminator and shear to its completion. So it still requires that extra bit of help. But come in, we'll be making them every day, and you can, you know, watch us through this. Watch us through this process.
It's really wide open.
We have, you know, nothing that we want to do privately in the back. Everything is open. We use Warrigal Mill flour. All the flours are from Warrigal Mill. You can see the it's a mill up in Rogers in Arkansas. They use exclusively unbleached and organic flour, which is really important to me. And they also mill our flour sort of according to the order. Flour has a shelf life.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily go bad if stored in a cool, dry place, but it starts losing flavors. Different flours have shorter or longer shelf lives. For example, whole wheat flour has a slightly higher protein content and fat content, so it might start getting rancid or having increased acidity, etc. But we try and put in orders regularly, small batch, and it's milled as fresh as possible.
Yeah, so I also noticed that you have convection ovens.
Yes.
And you have traditional ovens, but you're baking things fresh every day.
Yeah. I mean laminated pastries, which is what we specialize in, they don't have a very long shelf life.
So people eat them, they're there.
Yeah, they're there, you eat them, they're gone, and the day is hopefully going well and you start again fresh in the morning. The same for our bread, you know, it needs to be consumed fresh. Our salads, our sandwiches, everything, it goes through the kitchen to the counter, finds the right customer, and we start again. You know, we don't have a way to retain pastry from the previous day's bake.
It's basically, I noticed what you have are just a couple of refrigerators, and that's for the ingredients that
and
go
really,
in.
Really, we don't need them because if our local producers only have so much product that they can give you on a weekly basis, most of them are really doing it as a favor because they know they can take their product to market and probably get a slightly better price for it. So, you know, you're trying to balance things. We have deliveries often, and you know, we don't need freezer space or huge walk-in fridges that, you know, people, it's easier to buy in bulk.
Sure.
But we try and do it this way. We like it this way. I can't even start to explain. It's so much easier calling somebody I know saying, hey, I need more cheese, rather than calling
right.
a distribution company, which we sometimes have to do. You can't find everything locally, but it's just so much easier because you always talk to the person that's making the product. They have all the right answers. They know everything you need to know about their product, whereas sometimes when you're talking to a distribution company, 9 times out of 10, you get the answer, let me check and call you back, or I don't know.
Right, right.
You know.
So you're making quiches, you're making salads, you're making really things that go with coffee.
Mm-hmm.
What I understand is that your menu will change. I mean, it will change with season.
It's
constantly changing. Yeah.
I don't say this often. It's mostly because I don't like staying kind of put in one place at the same time. You know, come in the morning and you want something that you can be challenged with. You want the people that are working here with you to be constantly engaged in the process. And we try and keep people and everybody on their toes and ourselves because, you know, we want to do this for a long time. We don't want to get in the cycle of, you know, doing the same thing every day again and again and again. We just try and keep it as interesting as possible.
Sometimes
it's different. Sometimes you can't do something, you can't make something because you don't have the right ingredients for it, and you don't want to bend your principles too much because then the customer will notice.
Sure.
People know. People really understand, you know, local food, and they want you to do that too, you know.
So at Milo's Coffee, you're offering first and foremost coffee and food that goes with that. And so I'm wondering too, since you don't call yourself a chef, you say you learned how to do this. Did you really kind of do it on your own, or were you taught by family or no?
I've learned a lot from family. Nobody in my family or Monica's family or my extended friends and, you know, people around me is sort of has culinary training. Go in the kitchen and try a few things.
You played with it,
and
right?
then you, whatever you do, it's going to be great. You're going to eat it. Whether it's good enough to be sold, it's a different question, but it's fun. It's just fun.
And it sounds like you're always learning. You're always learning something new, something...
Yeah, there's always something that you can improve. You're never going to reach something that you can call a 10 out of 10. It's always just a little more room, and that's the way I work. I enjoy doing that.
Now, is this some of your own bread?
Yes.
And what are you going to have different breads every day?
Yeah, we're not a bread bakery. We don't, like as you said, you know, we don't have a huge amount of space. A loaf of bread is larger than, considerably larger than a croissant. So as you can imagine, we have our convection oven. It's a big oven, but it's, you know, you can only bake so many loaves.
Right.
But I love bread. I love having a bread routine at Milo. We will bake loaves for retail, just, you know, a dozen or a couple dozen loaves per day for over-the-counter sales. But what's more important to me, too, is to also use our bread on our sandwiches. So we have a whole wheat, rye, and all-purpose flour loaf here. It's with local pecans and also some currants. And it's just something that we baked yesterday. Yesterday.
Can we try it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so I know you have a panini machine. You toast things. So
we make a rustic loaf, so it works really well with sort of local. We did a roast pork from Freckleface Farm, which we roasted in house. And we used the local cheese from Honeysuckle Lane Cheese. Mm-hmm. We made a lovely pesto by just blitzing up some greens from Little Rock Urban Farming. And it's just great to be able to serve something that you know was entirely created in this in this kitchen. Mm-hmm. We're proud of it.
This is really good.
It starts, you know, right here as flour.
Yeah, with the flour.
Yeah, it starts with I think they're here somewhere. Somewhere here there's pecan. Mm. And it starts with the smaller
pecans. I see them back there, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a product that you can find at the Hillcrest Farmers Market. We have awesome local pecans, so why not use it? They're actually cheaper. It's cheaper to buy
local pecans.
Not even the price we get. The price you will find at the farmer's market is cheaper than going to your local supermarket, whatever that is.
Wow.
And the product is 100 times better.
Mm. And they're huge.
They're huge. They're tasty. Mm-hmm. They will freeze really well if you want to buy a lot. But, you know, you don't have to buy a little. Enjoy them when they're fresh and do it again next year.
Yeah, that's got great pecan flavor in the bread.
Yeah.
Mm, nice.
And it's something that we couldn't do having sort of bread combinations with nuts, or we might do a potato and rosemary bread, we might do an olive bread, we might do when the figs are in season, we might do a black pepper and fig bread.
Mm.
It's something that we couldn't do at the market because we could only bake those 20 loaves that we took to market, because it took me almost four hours to bake, you know, 20-25 loaves at home, because that's how much I could fit in the small oven.
So you've got apprentices with you. I mean, you've got people working here that'll learn how to do that.
Yeah. They've actually been to culinary school.
Oh, nice.
So they're,
nice.
Yeah, they're
you were smart really, on who to hire, right?
Really excited to work with Renee. She's a Little Rock native. She's come back to Little Rock.
Oh,
she
great.
Went to Florida to culinary school. She worked at the Biltmore Estate.
Oh, nice.
For a little bit, and she contacted us a long time ago and said, hey, when you open up, I want to come back. And she's back, and I'm thrilled to be working with her. We're working with Abby. She went to Chicago to culinary school and pastry school. She's also been born and raised here, and she called us a little ways back and said, hey, when you open up. And they're here now, which is so awesome.
Oh, great.
And I'm learning a lot from them, too. And I'm introducing them to the local food scene. So, yeah, it's great.
Great.
So,
Milo's Coffee, open on April 1st.
Yes.
Long, long career, I hope, here. And Stefanos, this was lovely.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Stefanos, yeah. I love it. Fantastic.
Thank you.
We're back. I'm Mary Tweed, and this is Arkansas Cooks. You can find out more about Milo's Coffee Company just by going to my website, arkansascooks.com. And you can also find out about Milo's Coffee Company on Facebook. Now, if you're interested in writing me, you can do that at mary@arkansascooks.com. I love to hear from you folks. The information that I get from you is always fantastic. Well, that's all the time we have today for Arkansas Cooks. Thank you for tuning in. I want to thank Stefanos and Monica and all the folks at Milo's Coffee Company. I had a great time. Also, thanks to Travis Hill. He makes me sound so good. This is Mary Tweet reminding all you Arkansas cooks that life is way too short to eat bad food. So only eat great food. Eat it with great people that you love. It'll taste so much better.